Octopus Spit Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Jason Van Rassel. I'm the creator of Original Levity and Alberta Beer Blog and a columnist with Avenue Magazine in Edmonton.
I'm Kelsey Payton, one of the co-founding members and front of house manager slash sales manager for Slackwater Brewing.
And I'm Liam Payton, the other co-founder and general manager, marketing manager here at Slackwater Brewing.
Perfect. So where are you guys located?
Right in the heart of downtown Penticton, BC.
All right. So for people that don't know Penticton very well, this building was a well-known landmark in town. Can you explain a little bit about what it was before?
So this building was actually formerly the Mule Nightclub downtown, right in the heart of downtown. Prior to that, it was the Blue Mule, and before that, it was Chaperones and Martinis. So it's always been a nightclub, and we're looking to bring in a new vibe to downtown.
All right, well, can we talk a little bit about your past in beer then?
So I started as a merchandiser for Central City Brewers and Distillers in Vancouver, and from there moved into a sales rep position, and from there moved into the interior for a short gig as a sales rep for them as well, sort of while we were planning on this on the side, and now I'm full-time Slackwater.
Perfect.
Actually, funnily enough, I just had a little Facebook memory pop up 2 days ago, so my 6 years in the industry officially, I guess, started then. I did a couple of bottling shifts and up at Whistler Brewing while I was still managing some bars up there, and then the company I work for gave me the opportunity to start the Whistler Village Beer Festival and help them get Deep Cove Brewers off the ground, and I was a sales rep for those and grew the festival up and expanded that into Kelowna, and then we moved to the city in fall of 2015. I worked for the Donnelly Group for a bit, helping them with their beer events and beer lineups. We had quite a few beers back in those days, Mike. and did some events on the side. And then the last stretch in Vancouver, I ran marketing for Northam Beverages, so Whistler Brewing, Lone Tree Cider, Bowen Island, and all their other fun brands. And now here we are. Oh, also a wonderful, proud team member of BC Beer Awards.
Awesome. And it's obvious from your accent, you're not originally from here. Where are you from originally?
Birmingham, England. I'm just about 10 and a half years now here in beautiful BC.
Damn, so you've been working a very large portion of that time in the beer industry somehow.
Yeah, and prior to that was just pouring beers.
So the whole time basically then?
Yeah, okay. All in booze.
It's a good way to do it. I guess, is there a beer that got you into craft beer? Is there a brewery or whatever?
My first memories of getting into really tasty local beers, I think, was Mount Begbie's Nasty Habit IPA.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think it was Phillips Hop Circle.
Okay.
I remember having one of those in some little bar, I think the Fitz up in Whistler, and I was just, my palate just had a freaking explosion. I was like, what on earth is this? Like, I was big into real ales back in the UK. I've been pouring pints since I was 16 in little country pubs. But being a ski bum for my first season, I was definitely drinking the swill and the cheapest stuff I could get. And then
it's all you could get back then, though.
It's all I could get, yeah. You know, just crushing Colt 45s on the like. whatever got the job done for the best bang for the buck. And then started getting a bit more cash flow when I was bartending and started trying out some of the local stuff, and I just never ever turned back.
I believe it.
And funny enough for me, it was actually Red Racer.
Nice. Back, one of my first two, actually.
Yeah, back in Whistler, it was the first Whistler Brewing, the Whistler Village Beer Festival, and I was serving at one of the bars in Whistler, and they won with the Red Racer IPA. And just the hype and excitement around that just really made me want to get into the industry, and pretty cool to be looking back on that now.
Yeah, it wasn't long after that. I think that was after the first festival in September 2013, and it was kind of around we first kind of started dating, I guess. And then in May 2014, we went on a bit of a pilgrimage, just fishing, and we went through Seattle, Portland,
Bend.
Nice.
My mom lives down by San Fran, so went down to North Cali and then drove back up. We visited a million and one breweries. It was freaking awesome. And then that was when we were like, let's start a brewery.
Nice.
drank a lot of beer and didn't catch very many fish.
I think you caught one. That's the whole trip.
Does anyone actually catch fish?
No, it's more about the beer.
Yeah, I was going to say, fishing is sort of a beer delivery mechanism more than anything.
Pretty much. I just do it to turn my cell phone off, stand in the middle of a river and crush a beer, really.
Yep. I go and hit a mountain peak and crush a beer, but same idea.
Yeah.
Exactly. Get away.
It's an activity.
Totally. Yeah.
Get off the grid.
Yeah, it's a little real out sip.
Yeah.
I guess let's talk about the building a little bit. You just gave us a little tour, but can you talk about, let's start the front of house there. Can you tell us a little bit about what the whole place is going to look like?
Sure. So it is a pretty sizable building. It's 9,000 square feet on the ground floor and just over 3,000 square foot on the mezzanine. So the only really things we've kept since its original state was the main bar downstairs, because it's a beautiful 32-foot bar with a cold room directly behind it, which we're repurposing and re-insulating. It was only plywood and just used for kegs, but we're using it for food storage as well, so nice. We're making that all up to food safe. So you're gonna walk in right off Martin Street, nice big glass doors. We've got our growler bar and retail fridge and merch wall right there. You can take a right in, and then we've got our main dining area downstairs, which is about a 1,500 square foot space. We're putting in a permanent little stage for some live entertainment. We've, as you guys saw, we've got a 32-year-old 16-foot ficus tree called Groot that grows straight out the concrete, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, I love it.
Maybe quite the feature. He's the janitor for the building. He cleans up at night after everyone goes. It's really weird. And then on from that, the about 3,000 square feet of the ground floor, we've got an open concept brewery. So it's kind of hard to see right now because we've gotten floor to ceiling with hoarding just for dust mitigation while Chris makes his wonderful brews while we finish up the tap room renovations.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got our, in our brewing facility, we are the new showroom brewery for Ripley Stainless right here in, well, not right here, Summerland, 15 minutes down the road. It's been fantastic working with those guys because they're very much not only local but a family-focused business as well, which we very much are as well.
Yeah.
So we've got our 10-hectoliter system here. So we've got our 10-hect brew house. We've got four 10-hect fermenters, which are pretty much going to be feeding our hungry tap room because we've got 280 seats. And this town gets very busy in the summertime.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially with a street-side patio and a rooftop patio. We're hoping we should be able to pump quite a bit of beer through here this summer. Then we've got our 320 hex, which are more for our core brands and our distributed stuff. Our 40, which is just for our lager. We run in 6-week cycles on that, and it gives us about 2 kegs a day average, which in the summer might not be enough.
No, probably won't be. You might have to stockpile a little bit.
Yeah, so we will not be really selling that outside the house.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because it's a fantastic beer. We've run a pilots time and time again, and Chris has done an amazing job on that. And then our 220 Brights, and we have a nice little barrel wall, not for show.
Yeah.
But we're starting off with about 12 or 14 barrels, and we've been fortunate enough to get some awesome oak from, I think we've got some bourbon barrels coming from Nomad Cider. They just emptied a Kiva Cider out of those. Got some Merlot barrels from Bench 7075. We've got some an assortment of red barrels we're going to go pick from the friends early June. Some gin barrels from Odd Society. Some Chardonnay barrels from Origin. So we're just really excited. We're in wine country. We figured, why would we wait? Why wouldn't we capitalizing on this awesome stuff that's all around us? So pretty excited to start getting some stuff in that oak and aging out, do some fun stuff. Upstairs, when you come out of the brewery, there's the kind of second tier stack on top of the main dining area. Big wide open windows. Again, another garage door into the rooftop patio. A vaulted ceiling, so Groot kind of comes through, as you guys just saw.
Yeah.
Rooftop patio, we've just got 5 Cascade and 5 Centennial plants, which are going to run up all the arbor and trellis around the side, so it'll smell pretty nice out there, and it'll break some of the heat because it's west-facing, which, out here, the summers get pretty cooking.
Yeah, they do.
We've got a concession-style indoor-outdoor bar as well upstairs, so you'll be able to walk up and grab a pint on the patio or on the inside. The area where that bar is located upstairs, we're going to keep more of a kind of pub feel. We've got a couple of pool tables, a couple of sports greens, kind of keep it more of a 19-plus kind of vibe. And then on the east side of the building, overhanging the cold room for the brewery, which is a fantastic brewery, the entire a view of the entire room, kind of private dining area with a big long harvest table, a couple of cocktail tables, a flat screen TV, and some small conference kind of ability in there. So kind of something for everyone. It's a, I said, it's a very big room, so we're trying to make as many different experiences in here as possible.
Makes sense. And I love the fact you got all this room to expand if you want to in this room, it seems like, at least.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be starting off with mobile canning, and with the hope within 2 to 3 years about getting our own canning line out here as well. But I'm sure you'll take some photos, but you can see there's definitely some room for another half dozen tanks and 25-foot ceilings. We can definitely upgrade a couple if we need to down the line.
Swap out.
Yeah, but I think Chris's math is we can do about 2,800, 3,000 hex with what we have right now, which to me is a very nice-sized brewery, especially when we're preliminary going to be a brew pub that distributes some pretty fun stuff now and again.
Yeah, you don't want to overdo it, because there's definitely people that have reached too far and couldn't keep it going. So you got to be reasonable, right?
We weren't really planning. We never had a plan to get like a 25 hec system and just crank into like production and wholesale.
Yeah.
Like I've spent my entire life in hospitality, and Kelsey spent a good chunk of hers as well. And we love hosting people, and we've got a pretty spectacular venue to do that now. So, and margin wise, it's a lot nicer selling beer in house.
Yes,
it is. Second it leaves, you just see those dollar signs flying out the door.
Yeah, so. Going the wrong way.
Exactly. And as I said, we want to create not just the beer. I mean, we have a fantastic executive chef and a nice kitchen and a beautiful room. So we want to tie in that whole experience with the beer.
Yeah.
And just make something as special as we can.
Nice. I'm a big fan of how breweries are named and stuff. Can you talk about the name you've come up with? I know there was a bit of a hiccup and you've changed names recently.
Yes. So the original name, Hatchery Brewing, we thought of on that wonderful beer and fishing pilgrimage we did down there at PNW back in 2014. We actually were homebrewing under that name for a little bit as well.
On a lot of bottles, but they've only just been given to friends and family.
Yeah, not quite enough to say that we're in commercial production to hold our ground on that one. That was the basis of that. And I was working my ass off in Whistler. Kelsey taught me how to fish. So nice. My lack of catching fish,
therefore, he still sucks at it.
Hey, I can only fish as well as I was taught, so it's technically all her fault anyway.
Yeah.
But
just a bad student.
Yeah, bad. Yeah, whatever. when we started going through this BS we've been through recently, we obviously had to start pulling together a plan B, and we'd already started getting a lot of our branding, like our brand system and aesthetic style coming through at that point, and we absolutely loved it and didn't want to lose it. So we wanted to keep a name that was still kind of true to the original vision and values, and which was really just celebrating with friends and family with great beer. And we spent the summers out here on Kelsey's boat on the lake. When we lived on the Sea to Sky, we'd spend our weekends fishing up in Squamish and Pemberton. So Slackwater kind of evolved with it's a little less explanation. We were continually being people like, oh, interesting, Hatchery, explain that to me. And then when we started telling people about Slackwater, they're like, oh, that's just cool.
Yeah.
So, I think it's actual definitions, just unstressed calm waters in between tides and little recesses and rivers and stuff. So
it's kind of a lifestyle out here in the Okanagan, too. It's, it's
pretty chill.
Yeah.
There's a lot of beautiful bodies of water, so... I think we were just having a few too many wobbly pops up at Kelsey's family cabin up at Apex one night, and I spat the words out, and everyone was like, "Oh, okay, I think
that'll work.
This is a solid plan B."
And it was a circuitous route, but you got there.
Yeah, exactly. We're just happy being, onwards and upwards right now. Obviously, we're overwhelmed by the positivity on the name change this weekend at Festivale and the week leading up after our media release. So.
Every cloud has a silver lining.
Yeah. Exactly.
I guess, can you talk on the direction you're going to go with your beers? You've mentioned you're doing a lager, but what's the plan?
We always had it in the plan to do our lager. So our Tightline Lager will be our flagship in-house, I guess, as I said. It's probably off the bat, we're not going to have enough to send elsewhere. So with the brew pub, we do want as many approachable styles as possible. Abu's got a fantastic philosophy, and if you know, his vision of a great beer is one you can sit and have three or four of. We don't want to make too many crazy, weird, out there beers. We want people from all walks of life to come in here and find something that they can enjoy and session and take home and share with people.
Yeah.
So we're starting off with the kind of classic lineups. We have a lager, we have a West Coast Pale, we have a IPA, we have a hazy IPA. We are going to be having a couple of like biannual core beers, so like a porter and a wit beer that will switch out. And myself, Kelsey, and Chris, our brewer, our favorite styles are probably like farmhouse,
yeah,
Northern Europe style ales. And as mentioned, with all the oak we're getting off to play with, and a festive ale, I think you guys tried our local honey and chamomile saison.
Yeah.
Just really trying to play with the terroir and what's available out here. So we're pretty spoilt with orchards and vineyards and all this amazing agriculture around us. So we really want to capitalize on that and work with local farmers and vineyards and anyone we can.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I think seasonal-wise, we're definitely going to be going more in the farmhouse and IPA kind of direction. Our favorites.
Yeah.
And Chris has managed to contract a bunch of pretty fun hops as well to play with there. And as I said, we've got some good local connections here with farmers and whatnot, so we should have some pretty cool produce to get with. But as I said, without going too weird, we don't want to. We'll rarely put out one glass beers.
Definitely. But and it sounds like you've got pretty good connections too to barrels locally too. So that's great, right?
I mean, we had a couple of family friend introductions, but to be honest, it was Chris and I jumped in a car, drove around the Naramata bench, shook hands with a couple of people, and we ended up with a bunch of beautiful barrels. So,
yeah. Can't complain about that.
Yeah, just got to go ask.
One of the things I wanted to ask, I love the fact that you're talking about approachable beers. You know, I one of the things I preach to my audience in Alberta is you know, to have beers that people want to drink. It doesn't mean you shouldn't experiment. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be trying to push the envelope, but you know, a lot of beer nerds, I think, sometimes can denigrate approachable styles as being uninteresting or that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, you got to sell beer. And, you know, you also don't want to turn people off. So I love the fact that you're doing that. What I wanted to ask, just as someone that isn't from Penticton and doesn't spend a lot of time here outside of the Festive Ale, is where do you think that local marketplace is at in terms of accepting different styles and kind of you know, being open to drinking different kinds of beer if you're making them?
There's a couple of breweries around here that have been around for a very long time. So the Cannery and Tin Whistle have got some serious legs behind them, and they're very big community heroes out here, and it's fantastic working with those guys. They've started, I mean, if you said anywhere else in the world that like an amber ale and a nut brown are like your flagship beers, you're like, hell no. But they are cults around here. Like, they are fantastic beers and so well made, but you know, if you go to Vancouver, no brewery would really be slinging those kind of styles of beer.
They'll have one, but it'll stick around for a long time.
Oh, there's people that swear by them out here and will never have them again, including, you know, Kelsey's dad doesn't drink pretty much anything other than their amber ale, and his friends won't drink anything other than Naramata nut brown, and Kelsey's got friends in Dubai that has to have like nut brown shipped out to her every now and again because she grew it here. It's fascinating. Yeah. But they've started like, both Bad Tattoo and Cannery have started putting out like fruited kettle sours, and I can't keep them in stock. And Hop Chowder, which is an awesome New England IPA that Cannery do as well, can't keep it in stock. So there is an appetite for the more newer trending kind of styles, but like classic pub ales around here are really prevalent. As I said, we have a pretty mixed demographic out here, so like the approachable classic styles do really well, but as I said, there is appetite for people wanting to try new cool stuff.
Yeah. It'll be interesting too in the summer, because there's a huge influx of Albertans, and with the influx of craft beer now in Alberta in the last, what year was it again when they changed the laws?
2013.
Yeah, 2013. So their appetites are changing too. So that'll probably change the summer appetite for beer here, because I'm sure that kind of tied in, right? Just, they were not used to a lot of the huge Vancouver IPAs and stuff comparatively.
Well, Alberta, before 2013, was stuck at about a dozen breweries throughout the province, because the AGLC had a production minimum of 500,000 liters, and I think you had to have the capacity to brew 1 million liters. And I might have that wrong, just thinking it off the top of my head. It might have been capacity for 500,000, but you had to put out, your output had to be 250. But it was a big number anyway.
Yeah, that's why it was big rock
to get
and
into
stuff
the
like that only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there really, I think, was not only a pent-up demand in Alberta for different kinds of beer, but for people who wanted to make it. Because as soon as those production minimums were abolished in 2013, the floodgates opened.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the really cool things about Penticton, and you know, the demographic of Penticton, obviously known as a retirement community, as far as the people that we expect to be walking through our tap room are anywhere from 19 to 80, and we need to cater to everybody because we want to be that community space where we have young families and we have people of all ages that are able to come in and enjoy the beers, because ultimately, yes, we'll get rocked in the summer with tourists, but it's our local people right here that are really going to be holding us up throughout the year.
And for sure.
I'm personally most excited. Well, I'm excited about a lot of things. I'm a very excitable person. There's actually a surprisingly big British expat community out here as well. So we're putting in a proper cask engine system as well. So we're going to keep rotating through classic English ales, like 3.5, 4% on cask engine. I think that's all I'm allowed to do in the brewery, really. I'll be doing that on the pilot system, pumping out little quotes if and when I have the time. But I'm pretty excited about that as well, because, as I said, a lot of our contractors and contractors' friends and people in the liquor stores around here, there's a lot of Brits, and we're extremely excited for some, you know, nice porters and milds and ESPs and pale ales and stuff on cask pulls. So
it's probably pretty underserved here, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm a British person now talking about casks, and what casks are out here is not what they are.
And even then, they're not as big back home, I don't think, anymore as they were.
They definitely, I mean, have been back twice in 10 and a half years, so it may or may not have changed. I know that like the North American craft beer model has really started to take off up there, but I'm not sure to what detriment of real ale.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I was last out there, half the cellar or all the cellar at some of the bars I work were just all cask ales.
Okay, good.
Main Street Brewing in Vancouver does it very well. We used to live close to Main Street and Brassneck and would frequent those places very often.
Yep. Yeah, very. Just about 8 or 9 nights of the week. The danger of living in Deachin and back.
right there. Okay, yep, that's very close. I guess with a really good community here, do you plan on trying to work out some collaborations with your local neighbors?
Yes, we do. Actually, it's I don't know if you got a chance at the festival this weekend, but the Kvayak IPA that Bad Tattoo and Neighborhood did was freaking fantastic.
Yeah, the Two Doors Down.
Yeah.
It was awesome, yeah.
And I've heard the names for the other collaborations they got with us guys in Canary and Downtown. It's pretty fun. They're literally just like, I think we're around the corner and whatnot. But we've had one in the chats with Canary for a long while, the river runs through.
Oh,
we're originally supposed to be, we looked at buying the building dead opposite those guys. We ultimately ended up over here just for the property really wasn't working out through the sale, so we flipped. But Penticton Creek runs straight through it. That's something pretty close to us as well, with the big Kokanee run that's extremely prevalent around here in the fall there every year, that we want to start giving back on that. I think we're organizing the creek cleanup pre-spring freset down here as well. And then we want to start having one of our core house beers here is going to be contributing to the Penticton Creek restoration program. But yeah, with the river straight between it, and we're kind of fishy kind of themed in, and we just, you know, Brad
Pitt
fans,
our waterways.
River runs through.
Nice.
Yeah, so I mean, it's trying to explain to some of our shareholders how collaborative this industry is in whole. Not even just, I mean, every brewery here in Penticton has been unbelievably fantastic to work with. Kim Lawton at the Penticton Ale Trail and Cannery has just been fantastic at rallying and keeping all of us in the loop, working together and moving forward to turning Penticton into the beer destination it deserves to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like,
of the world.
Yeah. Of the whole world. But half our kitchen gear's over at Bad Tattoo right now. We got a bunch of pilot stuff over at Cannery, and we borrow bits of equipment and bits and bobs whenever we can, and everyone's
fantastic. Just been so amazing. So yeah. There's a lot of exciting stuff coming up in terms of collaborations just in the future. It's really exciting.
Awesome.
You talked about Penticton being a beer destination and just how vibrant the local scene is in terms of those collaborations with the different breweries. I wanted to get your perspective about what the Festive Ale means to Penticton itself and the breweries here. You know, one of the conversations that the visiting judges we almost always have is how this is one of our favorite beer events. We love coming here. We love the community vibe of the festival. It certainly feels that way to us. But for the people here in Penticton, I think Mike's audience and people who aren't from here would really benefit from hearing from people who are here just what the Festive Ale means to Penticton and the local breweries and the local community.
I think I'll let Kelsey answer this a bit. I mean, she's from Penticton and has been sidewards at that festival for many years, I believe, growing up.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a staple in the community. It's been around for 24 years. It's grown immensely just from the time that when I first started coming at 19 years old to
at 19,
where I'm
really?
Seeing it. Yes.
19 for reals or 19 nightclub for reals?
19 for reals. but yeah, it's really cool to be able to showcase our town and how beautiful the Okanagan Valley is.
Yep.
It's also a really fantastic kickoff for spring because the winter can get a little sleepy around here. So.
Yeah.
As soon as that's, you know, spring starting to hit, the trees are budding and we're getting some flowers coming up because our spring starts a little bit later than it does out on the coast.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, everything all at once, not to mention all of the local businesses thrive from it because the hotels are full again, the bars are full again, and everyone is excited.
Yeah, it's a big influx of cash.
It's the big kickoff for kind of summer around here because only a few weeks till Spring Wine Fest, and then there's some amazing community events around here that start kicking off in like late May, June. It just starts getting people excited. The weather, you know, it's a very pivotal time of year out here. I mean, yeah.
Some years it's sunny, some years it's raining.
Yeah. Sometimes it's both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
You mentioned how it's gotten so much bigger over the years. Do you think it still has that charm? You know, sometimes people talk about an event getting bigger and becoming quote unquote more successful and that it maybe loses a bit of that personal touch. What's your own take in terms of how big the festival's gotten? Does it still have that community vibe to your...
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I think with anything, when you need to be able to grow up and stick with the times. there's a lot of different beer festivals now, and everybody wants to have a beer festival, but this is one that no one wants to miss, and I think that's pretty special.
Well, I'm from Metro Vancouver. He's from Edmonton, and we make our way here for this every year.
Yeah. Joe comes out from the island every year. Yeah. It's
and I mean, you just got to look at the brewery list. They're coming from Vancouver. They're coming from Victoria. They're coming from Pemberton now, Northern BC.
And there's a waiting list.
Yeah.
And you know, the festival organizers are curating.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they get the pick of some pretty good breweries, I think, to bring in
Absolutely.
Here.
And I mean, in the last couple of years, it looks like there's more and more Albertans coming out at this time of year instead of waiting until the full summer. To come and enjoy the event. So it's good to see, right? It's dragging people into town.
Oh, yeah. we had at our booth a bunch of people from Washington State yesterday.
Williams Lake.
People as far as Texas.
Jeez.
It's, 24 years, I mean, and it's ran, I mean, you know I know Beer Fest, Mike.
Yes, you do.
it's ran pretty freaking well.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
They've had a lot of years to perfect it.
Very well organized. But also from the other perspective of being the brewery that's invited to beer festivals all the time, it's exhausting.
Yes.
You really do have to pick and choose nowadays because it's tiring and you can only be in one place at one time. And there's a lot going on now. It's what everyone wants to have.
It was pretty special that our first official kickoff was right here in our hometown.
Yeah.
Just down the road. So it was pretty cool just hearing how excited people are for us to open doors.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. It doesn't hurt that you had some really good beers to start, so.
Yeah, no, we're trying to take off as many boxes as we can. Beautiful venue, beers as best as we can, and branding as best as we can, and
even with your branding not in town until the day of or the day before the festival.
The tap handles got delivered 10 minutes before the industry event started. And the banners 2 hours before the event started.
Yeah, so. And only because one of the local Vancouver breweries brought them up for you, right?
Strange Fellows, yeah. You're the best.
Yeah, thank you, Strange Fellows.
Classy gentlemen.
Yeah. Definitely.
And ladies.
One of my favorite breweries.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just maybe if you can elaborate a bit on the space itself, because, you know, walking around, and you talked about it a little bit during the segment when we were recording earlier, just about how important it is to kind of have a different experience in different parts of this venue because it is so large, you know, that you don't have a, you know, basically the same kind of seating throughout, and that's just, you know, in an off season or a shoulder season, it's going to be mothballed. You're going to have a large venue where you're going to have a lot of it in use a lot of the time. Was that kind of an important consideration when you were designing the space and getting in here?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the original plan was just a classic little 100 seat tasting room on a lounge endorsement. And then when we got this monster of a liquor primary, we knew we had to get creative. I mean, Penticton is great. People always comment, you know, oh, it must get really quiet in the winters. Like, until you go into the breweries, really. If you go into, you know, any of the local breweries, like Barley Mill, Bad Tattoo, Cannery, Highway 97 during the winter months, that's where everyone is. So there's definitely demand for that. People, you know, it's pretty monochrome around here in the wintertime and cold, and, you know, the beer community around here is fantastic. So, like, we've been here doing Hard Day's demo, and then we walk into Cannery at 5 o'clock every day, and everyone we knew in town was in there drinking beers. It was super fantastic. So we really wanted to do the best that we could here, and try and offer as much as we can. So we have our kind of classic tasting room downstairs, and then we have a street side patio with picnic tables, and then a rooftop patio with counter service and hot plants, and a nice open air indoor-outdoor space upstairs as well, and more of a classic pub feel with a couple of sports screens and the pool tables. We'll try and keep kids away from running around. We still want to be very family-focused, but we do want to have a little bit of respect and space for people that maybe don't want kids running around when you're trying to shoot some pool and watch the game. And then there's so many fantastic small businesses and entrepreneurship around this town, that we wanted a space for those people to come in a kind of casual environment, but a pretty special, impressive little area. So we have a nice harvest table and kind of conference meeting space, which is perfect for small businesses, for little meetings and boardrooms or nice birthday parties. So, I mean, it's pretty cool that you could come here every day of the week and sit in a different area and a different kind of level of comfort, different level of experience, different vibe. So we'd be happy about that.
That's exactly what I was going to say really appealed to me when you were describing it. Is it's one thing to create different areas that may appeal to different people, but you can be the same person and experience the brewery in several different ways during the week, depending on what you're into. You know, if you come with your kids, you're downstairs. You come with your buds, you might want to go upstairs and do the pub thing.
Yeah.
And so just even as a single customer, having that variety of options, I think was really well thought out on your part. It's probably, I mean, we've got a year till we're back, at least till I'm back here.
Back.
And yeah, and I can't wait to see it personally.
I've worked at a lot of pubs. We visited a lot of pubs. So we've drawn a lot of inspiration and from some of the fantastic places. We had the opportunity when our honeymoon last fall, actually, we went out to Boston and New York and Vermont and Maine, and we saw some really freaking cool breweries and really next level pubs and stuff.
Possibly like Trillium there, the shirt you're wearing?
Yes.
Possibly.
Which is a very good brewery.
Yeah, definitely didn't go to their beer garden all day.
And almost miss our train.
Almost running in flip-flops in a rainstorm to South Central.
We tend to do that whenever we're on holidays. We forget we're supposed to get on a plane or get on a bus.
Yeah, we really get into it. So we just wanted to make something as unique and all-encompassing, I guess, for this community. And, you know, for ourselves, that we love hosting people. So kind of having the opportunity, A, to build the best brewery we can. I mean, we kind of gave Chris carte blanche here as well. So he's designed this to how he likes to brew, what he wants to brew, giving room for expansion, tying him with as many local resources and connections as we can for our, like, set up family, friends, wineries and whatnot. And then on the tasting room side, trying to exercise everything we've learned and been inspired by over the years.
I guess we haven't talked about it too much yet, but when do you expect to actually open to the public?
So we, as you can see right now, we're sat in the middle of a ready-to-go brewery.
Yeah.
So we had a couple, we've actually had our manufacturing permit for maybe five or so weeks right now. Which gave us the ability to use our electric pilot system to get the beers ready for Festive Ale, which was extremely important to us that we were able to attend our hometown's festival.
Yeah.
I mean, Cologne is only a month away for Great Okanagan Beer Festival, but it meant a lot to us and, you know, all our investors and money, everything's here in Penticton, so it meant a lot that we were able to be here. So we managed to pull that off, which is fantastic. We had a couple of boiler hiccups, which delayed us from brewing commercially.
Yeah.
But Chris has been passivating the tanks all of last week, pulling some long shifts, getting all the stainless ready. And as you can see by the stacks of malt and grain behind you guys, we are ready to start brewing on Tuesday, which I'm pretty excited about. I think we're doing our What the Fog, our Hazy IPA, which is one of the People's Choice Best Beer this weekend, which was a huge deal to us.
Yes.
That's on Tuesday, and then we're doing our Tightlines Lager and our Serenity Now Saison on Tuesday, and then our Angler's Tale Pale Ale on Monday.
Okay.
To fill up all our 10 hex, and then I think straight into the 20s the following week, which
awesome.
Is pretty exciting. And in the room itself, all the rough-ins are done, all the inspections are done, so now it's drywall and finishing time, so... I think garage doors come in week after next. Drywall will be finished off this week. Heavy painting, all the rest of the materials, decor, everything's on order. So it's going to be a busy several weeks ahead. But I think we're aiming for anywhere between May 25th and June 8th right now. And kind of got all the contractors and architects and everyone is kind of on board
with those dates
and feeling more and more comfortable. As you've commented several times to me, we've been... going at Mach 10 around here.
Yeah, no doubt. Warp speed.
Well, not being open for the summer here would be a bit of a tragedy, and there was no doubt we wouldn't be open at some point during the summer, but it'd be a little nicer if we could have some May and June to kind of warm up a little bit. We've got a lot of friends out here in the hospitality industry, and, you know, as everywhere, really, Canada Day long weekend, stuff gets turned up for a couple months, so we really wanted to refine our processes and get our staff as geared up as humanly possible for that. So any days prior to that would be fantastic for us, but we're pretty confident it'll be early June.
Perfect. Maybe. I guess, will some of your beer probably be making it out to some pubs or something before that date, do you think?
Yes. As mentioned, we start full commercial production on Tuesday, so all goes well. I believe the first three beers that we're packaging this week are going to be kegged out kind of the first week of May. So we'll be distributing those. Kelsey's done a fantastic job on kind of lining up where those are all going across the valley. We've got Great Okanagan Beer Festival in 4 weeks as well, which, you know, hopefully could be a couple weeks ahead of our opening. So we'll
wouldn't
have beers.
Be bad.
Yeah, wouldn't that be bad? No. So, so we'll have some local distribution around here. We've got some partners on the coast that are calling me on every other day saying, is the fucking beer ready?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then I think probably late June, just pre-Canada Day, we're going to do our first couple of can releases. Our kind of format vibe we're going to go for is a couple of different four packs released in unison every kind of 4 to 6 weeks. And then with our barrel releases being 500 mls glass every maybe 2 to 3 a year. But we're starting our first releases in the fall, kind of winter time, once we've got enough time to get weird in that oak.
So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then draft as well, which we're preliminarily focusing on a couple of accounts we have in Vancouver. And then the rest is all going to be out here.
We talked a little bit about it, but for people that don't live in Penticton, what are some of the other things that'll kind of draw people here? And then obviously that'll draw them to the brewery as well, right?
Well, start off with the five other fantastic breweries that are already here. They've done an amazing job at putting this place on the map. I mean, with Expedia putting us the last 2 years in the top 10 last year, putting a second to Vancouver as beer destinations in Canada, has definitely got a lot of people talking about this town, and with ourselves and the wonderful folks at Yellow Dog and Neighborhood Brewing starting to pop up around the corner as well, that the hype is definitely starting to boost around here. It's funny when people say, oh, you don't think there's enough breweries already in Penticton? It's like, there's 100 and how many wineries in the area, and no one's upset about that.
So. Yeah, exactly. Well, they know wine here. They don't know beer as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, then again, the wineries are fantastic around here as well. The lakes are stunning, like hiking, biking, anything on the water. All of the wineries, as I said, there's some fantastic restaurants in and around town.
Rock climbing, biking, hiking.
Yeah, Apex Mountain, super close.
I mean, people are already coming here. We're just providing more things for them to do.
No, exactly, yeah. Just watch out for the rattlesnakes.
Oh, yeah.
Those little bastards.
Rattlesnakes and ticks, the buggers are everywhere.
Yeah, no doubt.
And deer. The urban deer around here are a nightmare. Our dog goes nuts.
I'm still stuck on the rattlesnake part because
it's
I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Just earmuffs. There's no rattlesnakes here.
Damn deserts.
Yeah, a couple of creepy crawlies.
Just don't go running through tall grass.
No, exactly.
Don't go into our basement. There's a colony of black widows.
I believe it.
Scares the crap out of me. I don't get that. I treat our basement like it's haunted.
It is.
My eight-legged freaks.
Yeah, it is funny, the deer population here. You don't see any in the bush. They're all in the city, basically.
We'll walk the dog, and there's like a family of eight of them stood there, like dead-facing us. I'm like, ew. Because turn around and walk the other direction before the dog loses her mind.
Yeah.
Actually, she got punted. We were playing disc golf out here a couple of years ago, and I think we got too close to a fawn or something, and this deer just charged down the hill and booted our dog down the hill, the poor thing. Actually just cracked a can of beer, and I whipped it at the deer, and I didn't realize that during my whipping, I clean took the tip of my finger off because it was right over the ring pull. I just popped. I just looked down at the situation, calmed down, and there was blood everywhere.
Yeah.
I had to go to the cannery and patch up.
I think I messed up.
But if you're walking from brewery to brewery, you're probably not going to run into any urban deer that are
they're not super downtown.
No. They're more like they're on the outskirts of town, but once you get out of town, you don't see them anymore.
Yeah. Because it's better in town. There's more fresh flowers.
There's no hunters in town.
Exactly.
they come for the breweries, but they can't get in.
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid deer without ID. Yeah.
I'm sure they'd love to spend green if they could.
Cougars,
find
on the other hand, we'll let cougars in.
Well, that's the worst thing because the cougars are following the deers into downtown. Actually, though.
But that's happening in Vancouver too.
Oh yeah. Oh well, we don't live there anymore.
At least we don't have to worry about skunks.
Yeah, no skunks.
Yeah, exactly. Other than, obviously, you got the Great Okanagan Beer Fest, do you have any other events kind of on the horizon that you're going to be part of?
Opening on the cusp of summer, I think we're just expecting to hold on by the short and curlies, I guess, and get through the first 3 months of operation. Obviously, for me, I would love to attend the Whistler Village Beer Festival.
Yeah.
But September around here is still extremely busy with a bunch of other stuff going on, and we don't have a massive team.
Yeah.
I think we'll definitely be trying to get out for that. We were the first brewery to sign up for VCBW this year.
Nice.
But unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be on one of our opening weekends. So, so we were unfortunate to pull out of Vancouver Craft Beer Week because it's probably going to be the weekend we open.
Yeah.
And Farmhouse Fest 2, we were talking to the guys, and unfortunately we just don't have enough time to get stuff done in barrels. So hopefully, that's my personal favorite beer festival, so I'm very
definitely
much
one of mine.
I'm very much hoping to be part of that next year, and as I said, with the barrel program we're starting off, we hope to have some pretty fantastic stuff to share with everyone and all our friends out on the coast next year. Other than that, I think that's really it for this year. Festival is most important, hometown. Yeah. And obviously the Great Okanagan, because most of our beer will be sold between Penticton and Kelowna. Whistler would just be, more of a homecoming kind of thing.
Yeah, cherry on top.
Yeah, exactly. But it's right around the time where we're planning our grand opening. So I said we're just going to hold on for dear life this summer. And then mid-September is when we took keys. So kind of an anniversary fun kind of thing we could do. We're gonna actually. We're talking about doing a throwback to the old the country roots of this venue originally, and then it was called the Blue Mule. We think we might do the Brew Mule weekend and brew like an American light lager and put some country bands on. And
the Albertans will love that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And just have a blast. And you know,
I might not be in town that weekend.
I know you love country, Mike.
There's also one really. It's a local event with the local breweries, but it's called the Penticton Beer Run that kicks off at the same time as VCBW. So we won't be attending VCBW this year because we're opening, or we're very close to at that point. But the Penticton Beer Run is a extremely successful run along the KVR trail. Last year it started out at Square One Hop Farm, and you basically hit every brewery along the way and eat food and run 10K.
All the local breweries have pop-up booths, so you just run a few K, crush some beers.
Stumble the last couple.
Smash some sliders and some poutine. Keep running, more beers. Then finish with a big barbecue and live music and more beers. It's like by midday, you're watching a band half cut in the sunshine. It's pretty, and you've done 10K.
You know? Yeah.
Which for me personally is a very big accomplishment.
You were going to say you've earned those calories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's something you should probably make out one year.
You know, Mike's alluding to the fact I'm a runner, but I rarely mix the two because, I'd be worried about holding down the food.
That's just making more room for beer then.
Yeah, it's really awesome. So that'll either, it could be our sort of opening weekend, or either way we'll be participating in some capacity, but we will not be running this year.
Yeah, as I said, we don't have a mountain of beer to sell, even if we cap out at the 3,000 here. I mean, it'd be fantastic if we can sell that here, just in the Okanagan Valley and a couple of spots out on the coast. So we are being cognizant of not just attending every beer festival because we want to attend every beer festival.
Yeah.
It has to kind of have merit for us, I guess.
Or a good holiday.
Or a good holiday, yeah. And we're going to need one.
Apparently, we live in the Good Holiday, so yeah. We're already attending that festival.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, well, is there anything we've missed that you'd like to kind of mention about the brewery before we wrap it up here?
Not really. Shout out to our two homeboys that can't be here today. Everyone's taking a well-deserved day off.
Hangover day?
Very rare. Yeah. Yeah. Slash hangover day. So Chris Vandenberg, our amazing brewer, who's he's at a blues brunch right now, which I'm actually pretty jealous of, around the corner at Dream Cafe. And Jason Matthews, our finance and operations wizard.
Good guy to have.
The two of them used to work together back at Postmark, so they have a fantastic working relationship, especially when it comes to, you know, all the back of house fun stuff with logistics and just general brewery operations and inventory management. And you know, the two of them have got that stuff down to a T, which is pretty fun. Have a really cool working relationship. It's fantastic working with those guys. We definitely built a pretty wonderful team.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks, Jason, for joining us.
Thanks for letting me sit in, Mike. And it was a great chat, guys.
Thanks for joining us at Slackwater Brewing Company in Penticton, BC. In the Okanagan. I'd just like to shout out to our Patreon supporters before we round this out. So, big shout out to Indie Beer Show in San Diego, Liz from Hop Bower in California, and Steve, one of our co-hosts. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/pacificbeerchat and help support the show and help us make the show even better. Cheers. Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
I'll